Now that alleged mob boss James Whitey Bulger is back and behind bars in Massachusetts, trouble seemed to just be starting for the rest of his family. As prosecutors and the news media recount Whitey's alleged crimes, his well-known brother, former Senate President William Bulger, has met with what's been described as reproach and disgrace. As WBUR's David Boeri reports, it's a challenge for William Bulger, the longtime public official, to navigate and to distance himself.
The horde of reporters, photographers, and cameramen outside the doors of the federal courthouse is waiting for Bill Bulger. He's used to that, but not to this line of question.
Are you happy to see your brother?
I'm not adding to my statement.
Whitey was back, and his brother was in purgatory for what he had done and what he had failed to do in connection to his fugitive brother.
I made a statement, and I'm going to just stand on that statement. I really have nothing further to add.
Gone is the protective bubble that once insulated him from anyone publicly asking about his older brother. It was never like this during his long tenure as president of the state Senate and then the University of Massachusetts. When he walks into and out of the courtroom to see his shackled brother, he no longer looks to his right or left. His only smile comes when older brother Whitey gives him a wink. Otherwise, he sits wincing, with a look as pinched as the words in his written statement, extending sympathy, quote, to all the families hurt by the calamitous circumstances of this case. If he's referring to the murder of 19 men and women, that evasion is as close as William Bulger comes to being candid. A path through the crowd of reporters doesn't open up for him like it used to.
What is that?
You seem very emotional.
No, well, it's an unusual experience.
As unusual as losing the last vestiges of acclaim and accomplishment when once he commanded the loyalty of college presidents, the city's elites, and elected officials, both high and low. Today, his public appearances amount to private events, like a lecture to a group of senior citizens in Marshfield last week. Even that small venue prompted police presence out of concerns Bulger would be confronted by the angry families of his brother's alleged victims.
Truth to tell, over the years, I was unable to penetrate the secretive life of my older brother.
William Bulger told the Congressional Committee in June 2003, only after Whitey became a fugitive did Bill feel the need to explain his relationship to his brother.
He marched to his own drummer and traveled a path very different from mine.
In an earlier era, the sense of needing to explain never pressed on Bill Bulger at all. During the 17 years he was Senate president, he had cowed the Statehouse press corps and politicians from ever asking about his brother. Such was his insulation and comfort that even in the 1990s he could joke in public about his notorious brother winning the lottery by claiming to have a share in someone else's winning ticket.
We've installed voicemail.
At the St. Patrick's Day breakfast in Southie in 1992, Bulger won wholesale laughter from state and city leaders with a tale about Whitey, the same man a presidential commission had described a few years earlier as a reputed killer, bank robber, and drug trafficker.
If you are looking for a hot tip on tomorrow's lottery number, press 4. And if you would like a partner for the number, press 5.
Among those laughing was Governor William Weld, the same Weld who, as U.S. attorney, had run the war on organized crime a few years earlier. With no sense of shame, Weld sung this song as Bill Bulger beamed in delight.
And now, Bill, this bonus is on me. Your winning ticket in the lottery. You're going to be a millionaire, there is no doubt. For I had your brother pick these numbers out.
Even after Whitey Bulger became a fugitive from federal charges in 1995, Bill Bulger's St. Patrick's Day follies would include Governor Wells singing to the tune of Charlie on the MTA. Will he ever return? No, he'll never return. 5 years later, in 2000, when Bill Bulger was presiding comfortably over the University of Massachusetts, Whitey still hadn't turned up. But suddenly, the skeletal remains of six murder victims did.
News in Boston. The feds and state authorities search what sources are calling a mob dumping ground in Dorchester.
Now the curses and the chickens were coming home to roost, as much for Bill as for Whitey. Both brothers had previously traveled in protective balloons. Whitey's balloon was the myth he was the Robin Hood of Southie, a good bad guy who handed out turkeys and helped nuns across the street. But according to Whitey's criminal associates, he had strangled the six victims or blown their brains out. Court hearings had also discovered Whitey had been a protected FBI informant, a snitch in a culture with a long-standing hatred for those who informed against their own. For Bill Bulger, it had been one thing to distance himself from a brother who was a bank robber. It was a far different thing now that his brother was accused of being both a rat and a murderer.
Informants committed murders with impunity. Killers were tipped off so that they could flee before being arrested.
Even as the scandal became national and moved to Congress and the zealous investigation of Indiana Congressman Dan Burton, Bulger remained loyal to his brother Whitey. Bill and his family turned back the FBI when it sought his help in finding or calling upon Whitey to turn himself in. Bill Bulger took a secret phone call from the fugitive at a prearranged location to avoid police detection. And his brother John Jackie Bulger helped manufacture fake IDs for Whitey and even lied to a grand jury about a safe deposit box they shared. For that, John would become the first Bulger to go to prison in 50 years.
Do you swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
I do.
Have a seat.
In December 2002, that congressional committee summoned Bill Bulger to appear. He was on his own turf in Boston, but no longer did he have the power to insulate himself. After the committee rejected his request to testify in private, Bulger was forced to endure in public the scene he had always hoped to avoid.
Mr. Bulger, have you talked to your brother, James, since 1995? And if so, where was he and where is he now?
On advice of counsel, I am unable to answer any questions today.
Taking the fifth was Bill Bulger's right, but as a public official, he had once again chosen loyalty to his brother over the interests of justice and public safety. Congressman Dan Burton proved the real master of words. He damaged Bulger badly by comparing him to the brother of the Unabomber. That brother had turned the Unabomber in. But when asked about Whitey, this brother, Bill, spoke emphatically to a secret grand jury in 2001. Bill Bulger said, "It's my hope that I'm never helpful to anyone against him." When the transcripts of that testimony were leaked to the press in December 2002, Bulger's days in office were numbered. Governor Mitt Romney and Attorney General Tom Riley called on him to resign.
"I do not know where my brother is. I do not know where he has been over the past 8 years. I have not aided James Bulger in any way while he has been a fugitive."
By the summer of 2003, Bill Bulger had been subpoenaed again, this time to Washington, and this time with immunity so he could no longer refuse to answer questions. Yet his answers before Congress that June would lead to his ouster from UMass.
"Did you know that he was involved in murder?"
No, I do not.
Did you know he was involved in narcotics trafficking?
No.
Did you know anything about the Winter Hill Mob?
The what?
The gang that he was connected to.
No, I didn't. Don't think I met anybody from that.
You didn't know Flemmy?
I did know Steve Flemmy, yes.
Well, he was part of that gang. You didn't know he was part of that gang?
No.
Mind you, Stephen Flemmy was Bulger's next-door neighbor, living no more than 50 feet away. And Whitey, Bill, and Flemmy occasionally dined together, according to a government witness. Bulger's professed lack of memory, curiosity, and knowledge of what had been reported in the news for years was simply stunning. It was selective memory loss, charged one congressman. When asked what business he thought his brother was involved in, Bulger had answered, "Things that were extra legal." Within a month and a half, he was forced out as university president. He got a severance of $1 million and walked off with a state pension of $200,000 a year. His lawyer called Bill Bulger a victim. Loyalty to his brother had been the unwavering choice. And now that Whitey's back, still more questions and more rebuke confront Bill Bulger and his greatly diminished reputation. For 90.9 WBUR, I'm David Boeri.